What is going on, guys? Welcome to the Armchair Fantasy Show, episode 79. This, of course, is our special Sunday edition of the 2019 NFL Mock Draft. We're presented, as always, by TalkLoudRadio.com, coming at you live every Friday night, usually on Friday nights. Today's a Sunday night special. We're coming live every Periscope, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. All right, guys. So tonight we've got a large panel of members tonight, so we're going to go ahead and introduce them really quick here. I kind of told them that the mics were live, and the first thing we hear is somebody moving and shifting around during the intro there, so I apologize there. But let's go ahead and meet the panel members here. Of course, my co-host is always here, Mr. Ryan Searfoss, dynasty writer for goingfor2.com. He's drafting for the Jets, the Bills, the Falcons, the Colts, the Rams, and his very own Ravens. Mr. Ryan Searfoss, how are you doing tonight, man?
Fantastic. Just trying to make all of our listeners not hate me tonight, or maybe do. I don't know. We'll
say. Good stuff. Yeah, you've done a couple of mock drafts on the website there. I think the first one you put out didn't get a whole lot of flack, but that second one you put out had a little bit more comments involved in it.
Dude. Yeah, not having Rashawn Gary in the top 10 had me just get berated by somebody.
Yep.
Like 3 hours of my day.
I remember that. I was going back and forth in that group as well. All right, next up, we have a returning guest from the Fantasy Football Fraternity on Facebook, drafting for the Giants, the Dolphins, the Steelers, Chargers, and his very own Detroit Lions, Mr. Adam Cooper. How you doing tonight, man?
A little bit under weather, but I ain't gonna miss this for nothing.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on, man. I know you told me you had the flu and you got, you know, family over and everything, and you somehow found a way to fit the podcast in, man. I appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, next up, we have one of the original members of the Lost podcast that we did 4 years ago. We actually had one of these NFL mock drafts 4 years ago, and unfortunately, the audio was lost. So this is officially our third annual, even though we did four of these. So he's an original member from that podcast, drafting for the Cardinals, the Bucks, the Broncos, the Eagles, the Chiefs, and his very own Minnesota Vikings, Mr. Matt Sandell. How you doing tonight, man?
It is a pleasure to be with all of you, except for Gerson, of course.
Hate or gon' hate.
All right, good stuff, Matt. And of course, Matt he's also on the Talk Loud Radio network as well. He did a betting podcast show during the NFL season. Hopefully he brings it back. He has since moved from Minnesota to Arizona. Quite a bit of a jump as far as weather goes there. He went from probably negative 20 to about 80 degrees year round. So good stuff there. All right, so the next original member we had from that original podcast as well, he's coming on tonight. He's also a co-host of this very show, the DFS version during the season. He's drafting for the Jags, the Redskins, the Titans, the Texans, my 49ers, and his Packers, Mr. Tim Strobel. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good, Jeff. Ready to get underway. You know, I look forward to the show all year, so let's go.
Let's do it. All right, and finally, the guy who drafted Baker Mayfield number one overall, and we all kind of hated on him a little bit. He got hated on Twitter, Facebook. I had people threatening to like stop watching the show, the whole nine. Of course, he then goes and gets drafted number one overall, and Gerson has the last laugh. Gerson, how you doing tonight, man?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. Just really excited that we're finally getting a little bit of NFL. I mean, really get going.
Yep, good stuff, man. All right, and I forgot to tell you who you were drafting for. You were drafting for the Bengals, the Panthers, the Seahawks, the Patriots, and your very own Oakland/Las Vegas Raiders. All right, guys, a quick rundown of the rules and how this is going to work. I gave every panel member their teams about a couple weeks ago, so we give them a chance to sort of study up on those teams and what their needs are. We're going to go through 100% organic. This is 100% live. There's no scripts. No one knows who's taking what, so it means they could get sniped if they have a guy on their board and someone takes them before they pick. There's no pick trading. We're just going to assume that every team that's on the board is going to take a pick right there. I know, obviously, that won't happen in the NFL draft, but it's too hard to try to coordinate drafts, draft trades, and all that kind of stuff, so we're just going to stick with the board the way it is. And that's basically it. We're going to run through each pick in the first round here and just go pick by pick, and everyone can give their take on it and why they think that team needs that player. Sound good, guys? All right. So before we get started, I want to quickly talk about a promo that we're running through the NFL draft. We're calling it hashtag draft pack. Basically, anytime during the NFL draft, if you tweet out anything, if you tweet out, you know, I hate that pick or I love that pick or anything that you tweet out, use the hashtag draft pack. And you'll be entered to win a bunch of prizes. We've got a bunch of sponsors from Fantasy Pros to RotoWare to StatRoute to we got Dynasty League Football, Sleeper. There are a bunch of sponsors that we got giving stuff out. We got a signed Darrell Revis mini helmet. We've got signed game worn sneakers from Bobby Portis. We got some swag from Sleeper. We've got some premium subscriptions to Fantasy Pros and StatRoute. So tons and tons of things. And all you got to do is use the hashtag draft pack during the NFL draft. The more times you tweet, the more times you use that hashtag, the more chances you have to win prizes. So with that said, guys, let's get on to the draft here. We'll kick it off here with the first pick in the draft. Of course, everyone knows by now it's the Arizona Cardinals, and that pick is owned by Mr. Matt Sandell. So, Matt, tell us who the Cardinals are taking with number one overall.
Well, you know, it's no shock at this point. There was a lot of rumors, and really, based on his height, that they were real concerns, but it looks like the Cardinals are going to move on from Josh Rosen and take Kyler Murray, quarterback from Oklahoma. Steve Keim, the GM, he's really on thin ice. I mean, last year was a catastrophe. Steve Wilks is already gone. They fired him, and they're already moving on from a quarterback that they took in the top 10 last year. So an absolute disaster of a season for the Cardinals last year. And I do truly have concerns about Kyler Murray's height, even though he did clock in at about 5'10", 1/8". They were just looking for him to be above 5'9", basically, but I still worry about him. He's really, really thinly built, and I definitely have my concerns, but we'll see what happens with him and Cliff Kingsbury there in Arizona.
Are you buying the whole thing that he ate a ton of food and drank a ton of water before the draft so he can weigh a little bit heavier? Do you buy that, or do you think he actually did bulk up?
Yeah, I definitely do buy that. I mean, I think a lot of guys do that, depending on the position. But for him, yeah, he might have to be honest with a couple free weights in his pocket, something like that. But you know, it's going to be interesting what happens because, like I said, Steve Keim, the GM, he's been there for a long time. I mean, they were playing in the NFC Championship game just 3 years ago, and now they're taking the first overall pick and moving on from a quarterback that they had a lot of draft stock in last year. So we'll see what happens, but all signs point to Kyler Murray being the first pick.
All right, good stuff. No surprise there. Going on to the number two pick, I'm assuming there's no surprise here either. My 49ers, Tim, tell us who they're taking.
Yeah, with the second overall pick, San Francisco 49ers take Nick Bosa, edge rusher out of Ohio State. While San Francisco has a ton of talent along its defensive line, including Buckner, Solomon Thomas, and of course they just went out and got Dee Ford, they cannot pass up the opportunity to take Nick Bosa. At 6'4", 266, he'll fit in perfectly as a defensive end in their 4-3 scheme. He was off to a tremendous 2018 before he injured his knee, and he's a high-motor prospect and it looks like a future Pro Bowler.
Yeah, good stuff there. I was hoping that the Cardinals would go with Kyler Murray in the real draft because I do want Nick Bosa. He's the one I wanted from the very beginning there. I love that pick there, and I love that, you know, we've got some good edge rushers now. We didn't bulk up the secondary quite yet, but I think that edge rush is going to be dominant this year, and I think that can help out our secondary just in that sense alone. All right, next up, we have the New York Jets, and I've been forgetting to hit my little button over here, so we're going to hit it for Ryan. He's going to be the first one to get the little chime. The New York Jets drafted number three overall. Ryan, who are you taking?
I was going two ways, but the Jets made a concerted effort in the offseason to get Anthony Barr before he decided to take less money to stay in Minnesota. So they need desperately to improve their pass rush. They're pretty good at the middle. It really pains me to not take Quinn Williams because he's the best player there. But I'm going to take Josh Allen.
You punk.
He was an absolute animal. He had 17 sacks in the SEC this year. Every offensive lineman who they talked to at the combine said he was the hardest guy to block the entire season. He has all the makings for that speed ball or that speed edge rusher off the end. And now they have their cornerstones on offensive defense with Sam Darnold and now add Josh Allen. Who goes higher than the last Josh Allen?
Yeah, good stuff there. Tim, what do you think of that pick? Did you think about taking Josh Allen at that at number two spot, or was it Nick Bosa all the way?
No, honestly, it was Bosa or Quinnen Williams. I know that the 49ers had him in for a visit. They like him a lot as well. But like I said, I think Bosa's talent was just too much to pass over. So Allen wasn't really in consideration for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think we've already got that position pretty much locked down, so I don't think we would have taken him there. All right, Gerson.
If you would have left Bosa, I'd been sprint up to the wall to make that pick.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, I think it would be the fastest pick that we ever take. All right, next up, we got number four. We got the Oakland Raiders, and we heard Gerson get upset when that last pick was made because I'm sure he got sniped. He probably wanted Josh Allen. So, Gerson, tell me who you got going to number four now.
Well, with the number four pick, the Oakland Raiders are going to take Quinnen Williams. I mean, he's basically the best player on the board after Josh Allen. I think they drafted – well, I know they drafted Maurice Hurst last year. He wasn't so bad, and he was one of the most – I call him a sleeper defensive tackle interior. And if you compare him with Quinnen Williams, they're going to improve up front. Quinnen Williams was ranked number one in defensive interior at 96% or 96 point overall grade on PFF. And overall, this guy is just a monster. He had 10 sacks, over 19.5 tackles for loss. He's very athletic. He crushed it in the combine. I think the Raiders are going to go defense this whole draft, basically. It's just the way their offseason's gone, and they went like Antonio Brown, LaMarcus Joyner, they're building, and you know Mike Mayock, he knows how to pick his players.
Yep. Yep, good stuff there. I think it's pretty much chalk so far. I think we can probably reverse a couple of those picks. Maybe Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen would flip-flop possibly, but I think overall those first four picks are pretty much chalk. The next pick on the board is Tampa Bay at number five, and that's going to go to Matt Sandell. I think there could be a little bit of some options here for Tampa Bay. So, Matt, tell us who you got going to Tampa Bay at number five.
Tampa Bay is going to select Devin White, linebacker out of LSU. You know, the Buccaneers last year had a surprisingly, quietly really good offense, and so I don't see them going anywhere on that side of the ball. They really have a solid offense with Mike Evans and O.J. Howard, and they just really need to find a running back. So, but their defense on the other side of the ball, they'd put up 30 points on offense. And they'd give up 35. I mean, there's a reason they're picking fifth overall here. So they need help all over the place on defense, secondary, safeties. But Devin White is just an athletic freak, and I think he can really help replace Quan Alexander there in Tampa Bay's defense.
All right, good stuff there. I love that pick because you're right. I think the Bucs had one of the best offenses in the league last year, and their defense was so bad that they couldn't even have a winning record last year. It was pretty terrible. All right, next up at number six, you can hear that sniffling in the background. That's Adam. He's a little sick over there. So, Adam, at number six, who are the Giants taking?
Yeah, at number six, I'm going to have the Giants take Ohio State quarterback Dwayne Haskins. I think this would be ideal for them. They won't have to trade down or anything. They need to move on from Eli. Eli just isn't getting the job done, and it seems like they're just in a complete rebuild now with trading Odell. And Haskins is a good get for him. I mean, he can lead a team. He has a good arm. He's basically what you want in a quarterback. And I think with pairing him with Barkley, Golden Tate being there for a couple years, I think they're rebuild a little bit.
All right. Yeah, I love that pick there. I think Haskins fits in perfectly. He can probably sit behind Eli for, if not the entire year, maybe half of the year. Before they get sick of losing, and then they'll throw him in there. But I think Haskins is a great pick there. It's kind of funny that, you know, if you would have done this mock draft about 2 months ago, I think Haskins was the number one quarterback. And then Murray, of course, ends up being a little bit taller than we thought, a little bit heavier than we thought, and suddenly he's the top quarterback taken. I think Haskins is a great pick there for the Giants, so good stuff there. Next up at number seven is the Jacksonville Jaguars, owned by Mr. Tim Strobel. Tim, who the Jacksonville Jaguars going to take?
The Jacksonville Jaguars select Montez Sweat, edge rusher, Mississippi State. At 6'5", 260, he projects well as a 4-3 defensive end. He was considered by many to be a top three pick until he was medically flagged at the combine for a heart condition. While his is not considered to be particularly serious, he did fall down a little bit on the board, but I think that he will be an excellent pass rusher for them opposite Calais Campbell and really bring that Jacksonville defense to, you know, back to one of the top in the league.
Yeah, that's a good call there. It's kind of funny to think about them taking an edge rusher when just 2 years ago they were the number one sack team in the league, but they definitely fell off a little bit last year, and they could definitely use some help in that department. You know, they were calling themselves Saxonville 2 years ago, but a big, big fall off last year, both offensively and defensively. So I love that pick there. Next up, we're going to go back to Mr. Flew himself, the Detroit Lions, his very own Detroit Lions, Mr. Adam Cooper. Who the Detroit Lions going to take?
With the eighth pick, I'm going to have the Lions take Ed Oliver, the defensive tackle out of Houston. Damian Harris is 30 years old going into the season, and even though he does have a couple years left to able to play, I think his contract runs out after this year. And Ed Oliver, I think he should be a top three pick. I mean, he's built basically almost identical to Aaron Donald. We've seen and heard numerous comparisons between the two, and it never hurts to have an extra defensive tackle, especially a guy that could potentially be as dominant as Ed Oliver. You know, you have Aaron Rodgers there. You have Kirk Cousins. And the key to stopping those guys and winning against those teams is getting to the quarterback, and that's what Oliver can do.
Yeah, that's a good stuff. I like that. I like that pick a lot. Tim, what do you think of that pick there, Ed Oliver at number eight for Detroit?
No, I like Oliver a lot here. I was actually considering him as well. I think that he probably fits better as a pick for the Lions than he did for the Jaguars, but I think that he's going to be a great player in the league.
Yep, good stuff there. All right, next up, number nine, we have the Buffalo Bills. Mr. Ryan Searfoss has the Bills. Ryan, who are the Bills taking here?
The Buffalo Bills select tight end T.J. Hockenson. Right now, they're going around.
He got sniped again.
Right now, they're trying to build around Josh Allen, that offense. They got him a couple separators at receiver. He still doesn't have that real threat in the middle. Tyler Croft's not that dude. The Bills are about physical football, and Hockenson's one of the best blocking tight ends in the league. Plus, to go with that, he can stretch the field. He tears up the scene. He's a complete mismatch nightmare. He can be Josh Allen's best friend for the next decade. So I love the pairing of them. Hate taking a tight end that soon, but that's the kind of weapon that is perfect for a young quarterback.
Yeah, I love that. I love that pick there. I think that's our first offensive non-quarterback taken there, and it's a tight end, which is kind of interesting. Gerson, I know you're not up next, but I want to get your thoughts on that because I heard you a little bit upset about that pick. Were you thinking this for the Raiders?
Oh, I'm not upset. I'm just shocked he went that high. I mean, I honestly thought, I mean, I respect Ryan, everybody. I listen to his stuff. I listen to you guys' fantasy show. Sometimes I ask stupid questions, but it's because I ask stupid questions. But, yeah, a little too high for my taste. I honestly thought he was going to go DJ Metcalf or whatever his name is, DK Metcalf. Because that's kind of what I thought was, like, you know, what the Bills wanted the whole offseason. But I think they signed a wide receiver. I can't remember who it was. They signed like two of them, right?
John Brown.
Yeah, they signed
John Brown and Cole Beasley.
And John Brown.
Okay. So I was thinking they wanted like a kind of like a bigger wide receiver to, you know, help them in the red zone. But I mean, I can't hit on the pick if it's going to be his safety blanket. And I think Josh Allen has upside. So I'm hoping it works out for him.
All right. Good stuff there. Good stuff. All right, so now let's go to the number 10 pick. We have the Denver Broncos on the clock, and the Denver Broncos are owned by Mr. Matt Sandell. Matt, who's the Denver Broncos going to take here?
You know, every year we see it, there's always a guy who doesn't really deserve to be a top 15 QB taken, guys like Ryan Tannehill, Christian Ponder, Blaine Gabbert, guys like that. There's always teams reach for quarterbacks in the first round. It's no surprise. And I think the Broncos are going to do it this year and go with Drew Lock, quarterback out of Missouri. I think possibly a team like the Dolphins may trade up and try and snipe him from the Broncos, but we're not doing trades. So I'm going with Drew Lock out of Missouri. You know, a lot of people thought he might go first overall last year if he was eligible. But, yeah, the John Elway era the last several years with him running the show there has been quite a catastrophe. He is not drafted well. The free agent signings haven't been there. I mean, Case Keenum lasted a year. They won six or seven games. I forget. But, yeah, this is an extremely important draft for the Broncos, who now have Joe Flacco as the bridge quarterback. And as Bill Simmons said on his podcast, he saw the article that said Joe Flacco was signed by the Broncos, and he thought it was an Onion article. But he's their quarterback now, so we'll see what happens. But I think QB of the future, Drew Lock, I think they're going to reach for him here in the top 10.
All right. Yeah, I like that pick there. Actually, as soon as you started talking about quarterbacks, I was already highlighting and moving them over. I figured you're going to put Drew Lock there. Ryan, I want to get your opinion on this. I know you're not a big fan of Drew Lock. So what do you think of Lock going to the Denver Broncos here at number 10?
I mean, I'm not a big fan of Drew Lock. It's funny because I comped him too. My comparison for him early was kind of like Joe Flacco. He has that big arm, not super accurate. He's kind of all over the place. It's kind of the perfect person for him to sit behind and learn what not to do. But the pick makes sense. Elway has a type. And more the hype's building on Drew Lock. And I think he is going to get that high. So, yeah, pick makes sense. I don't love it from a perspective of thinking he's good, but I love the perspective it might happen.
Yeah, that's a good call. And this is kind of what we're doing. We're predicting what we think's going to happen, not what we think should happen. So I agree. I think Drew Lock is that pick there. We heard during the Senior Bowl, I think it was, John Elway was all over Drew Lock in that Senior Bowl, kind of talking to him and seemed to come out loving him. So that's definitely a good call there. I figured he'd probably go there as well. Next up at number 11, we have the Cincinnati Bengals, owned by Gerson. Gerson, who are the Bengals going with?
The Cincinnati Bengals are one of the few teams that have a need like almost at every position, just like the Oakland Raiders. They could go a lot of different routes. I am not going to lie. I was going to have them draft Drew Lock to replace Andy Dalton for the future. But again, I got sniped. So I'm going to go here and say Jonah Williams, offensive tackle, Alabama. He came up short on his arm length. People were kind of worried about that, but we saw what he did last season. He's the best offensive tackle in the whole college football. He only allowed 12 pressures and 482 attempts. Overall, I mean, if you do anything with the Bengals, you're going to need a lot of protection, especially with Andy Dalton. He's not really a good mark quarterback, very indecisive. And I believe this is the year where they also replace, they find a, I wouldn't call it successor, more like replacement for Andy Dalton, because he's just not getting the job done. They've been mediocre. I guess that's what they are always, right? Because yep. of Marvin Lewis. But it's just, I think this is, it's time to go. It's time to let Andy Dalton go. And I mean, with Drew Lock being off the board, Jonah Williams, my pick.
All right, good stuff there. That might be the record as far as an offensive lineman being taken in our drafts. You know, we're all fantasy players here, and it seems like we never want to take those guys. So I think that's a good call there, going with Jonah Williams at number 11 for the Bengals, because I think they can probably get a quarterback later in this draft or even wait till next year, ride Dalton out for one more year. The quarterback class for next year is much better than it is this year. So good stuff there. All right, the next up we have at number 12, the Green Bay Packers. And, of course, that's Tim's favorite team, if you didn't already know. So Tim has the Packers. Tim, who are they taking here at number 12?
The Green Bay Packers select Juwan Taylor, offensive tackle out of Florida. I, too, was sniped. I really like Jonah Williams, but I think if Juwan Taylor is here, the Packers will be happy to take him. At 6'5", 312, he's considered by many to be the top tackle in the class. He played primarily right tackle, but he can play left tackle as well. They're looking for a long-term solution at right tackle. Brian Bulaga's getting up there in age, and he's also set to be a free agent next year. So Juwan Taylor is more of a throwback tackle. His pass protection is excellent, and he likes to play the run as well. So I think he's an instant upgrade. They obviously have to keep Rodgers upright, so I think they go with Juwan Taylor.
All right, yeah, good stuff there. Two back-to-back offensive linemen. That's definitely going to be a record for this third annual podcast here. We got two going in the top 15. That's crazy. And while we're on the Packers, Tim, I just want to get your opinion on everything going on. It just kind of came out with this whole Aaron Rodgers, McCarthy, you know, whatever it was. I just want to see what you're hearing about all that going on.
Yeah, I mean, there have been some of that leaking out for a while. I mean, a lot of it, you know, we kind of had an idea. But yeah, some of it was obviously really bad. I mean, to say that they were kind of doomed from the beginning, is always kind of tough. I mean, they were so good there for a while, but, you know, I mean, you know, I'm hoping that the new, you know, coaching staff that they've brought in is going to be a better challenge for Rodgers, and, you know, it's going to keep him more engaged, because obviously it seemed like he checked out on McCarthy early on.
Yep, yep. Yeah, apparently, I guess they didn't get along from the very beginning, which is kind of crazy to think they won a Super Bowl together, and you know, they didn't really get along, you know, since the very beginning, because he drafted Alex Smith over him, so that's an interesting story there for sure. That was definitely a good read.
Yeah, he said he couldn't trust a guy who thought that Alex Smith was a better quarterback. So yeah. I kind of have to agree with him a little bit
there. Yeah, yeah, I can agree too. But you think you'd get over it eventually. I mean, I don't know. That's definitely holding a grudge there for sure.
I just think he's a drama queen.
Who? Yeah, Rodgers, yeah. A little bit of a drama queen.
He's a drama queen. Like, honestly, shut up and play.
Shut up and dribble.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see. We went a little bit off rails there. So we're up at number 13 here. The 13th pick overall is owned by the Miami Dolphins, and the Dolphins are owned by Mr. Adam Cooper. Adam, who you have the Dolphins?
At 13, I have the Dolphins going Rashawn Gary, defensive end from Michigan. They're in a complete rebuild. I mean, I honestly could have basically took any player I wanted that's left on the board, and they'd start day one for him. Gary can get to the quarterback. He's good at stopping the run. And I think their biggest defensive need is defensive end. I mean, Andre Branch isn't signed. They traded Robert Quinn a couple days ago. William Hayes isn't signed. Cameron Wake, they lost to Tennessee. I mean, you need some. If you can't score any points, you're going to at least try to stop somebody from scoring the points against you. And Rashawn Gary is a defensive piece you can build around. I mean, I'm a State fan, but I watched him just destroy guys all year long. And I'm actually really surprised that he lasted to 13. So I'm sure if this was a real life scenario, Miami would be thrilled.
Yes, yeah, I think that's a good pick for the Dolphins. They definitely need, like you said, you could have closed your eyes and basically picked anybody on that list, and the Dolphins probably have a need for that. And the Dolphins, of course, you know, this is how bad it is for the Dolphins. They've got two quarterbacks that said no thanks to go back to the teams they were on, with Teddy Bridgewater going back to the Saints to be a backup, and then, of course, Tyrod Taylor signing with the Chargers. He went to the Chargers or the Rams? I can't remember which one he went to.
Chargers,
right? Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, they both, you know, could have signed there as starters and decided to go back and be Taylor. Who did I say? Oh, Ty God. Yeah, I know you love Ty God Taylor in fantasy, of course. But yeah, it's pretty bad for the Dolphins right now when they've got guys that want to go be backup somewhere else and rather start for their team. So
the only reason why Fitzpatrick even went there is because he just wants to play for every team in the league. So
yeah. Yep, good stuff there. All right, next up at number 14 we have the Atlanta Falcons, and that team is owned by Mr. Ryan Searfoss. So let's see who the Falcons taking here, Ryan.
Atlanta Falcons take Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle, Clemson. He might be another guy, a little high, but he kind of fits what they need. Wilkins is 6'4", 300 pounds. He's an absolute space eater. And with the Falcons' defense, is built all on speed. I mean, you have Vic Beasley, Tack McKinley, Deion Jones, all just flying around the field. He's going to force them to double-team him with him and Grady Jarrett in the middle, and then eventually takes his spot once he's gone. And he makes teams double-team him, lets all that speed just run around and make plays. Might not be a sexy pick for him, but sometimes you got to go for a double, not a home run.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I like that pick a lot. Adam, what do you think of that pick of Christian Wilkins there at number 14 for the Falcons?
I mean, I don't think this is too high at all. I mean, especially I think the ideal pick. I mean, you have Grady Jarrett. He's playing just basically on, if I'm not mistaken, this year. Yeah. So if they lose him, I mean, Wilkins could come right there, and I don't think they're going to miss a beat at all. I mean, I was actually considering possibly at Miami take him too to replace Sue. So, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. All right. The next pick up that we got in the last one before the commercial break is going to be the Washington Redskins, owned by Mr. Tim Strobel. Who are the Redskins taking here?
All right. The Washington Redskins select DK Metcalf. Receiver out of Ole Miss. I think that if this scenario was to play out, they'd be very happy to get him at number 15. No matter who's playing quarterback for the Redskins moving forward, they need receivers. Right now they have, what, Josh Doctson and Paul Richardson. Whether it's Case Keenum or in the future maybe Alex Smith, they need big plays. And while he, you know, projects early to be a little bit of a project, I think he's got tons of upside and could eventually be a big player for them. So I think they go for Metcalf here.
Yep, good call there. I like Metcalf a lot for the Redskins. I think that the Redskins themselves, I've heard a lot of talk here living in D.C. about, you know, DK Metcalf possibly falling to them. They need receivers. They kind of drafted receivers in the past and haven't had a whole lot of luck. And right now they're pretty short on receivers in general. So great pick there for Washington. All right, so we're at the halfway point, or just about the halfway point of the draft here. We'll take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll knock out picks 16 through 32. So just hang tight, and we'll be right back.
Fantasy football, it's not just a social interaction anymore. Today's manager plays to win, and the difference between winning and losing is so small, a manager will do whatever it takes to get an edge. Yet the other sites offer the same content at an extremely high cost. It's time to get away from the old and step into the future of fantasy stats. This is StatRoute. StatRoute allows you to find any data set for any player or team in 7 seconds or less, all on a simple, easy-to-use application. Want to see which running back performed best in the snow last season? How about the past 5 seasons? And in the fourth quarter? Or maybe you're unsure of which quarterback to start for the upcoming week. With our Stats IP technology, you can now quickly see how Matt Stafford has performed in the rain, during the second half of the season, in New York, compared with how Russell Wilson has played during primetime games, at home, versus the Rams' new defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips. At StatRoute, it's our mission to deliver state-of-the-art technology guaranteed to keep you ahead of the curve. So, whether you're a casual football fan, a weekly fantasy trash talker, or a DFS hustler, we've got you covered. Welcome to the new standard for stats delivery. We are StatRoute. Take back your lead.
Guys, welcome back. I want to thank our sponsor, StatRoute.com. They run a promo code for us. If you use G42FF, that's G, the number 4, the number 2, FF, you get 50% off your yearly subscription. They are also one of our sponsors for hashtag DraftPack. If you didn't catch it in the beginning, use hashtag DraftPack during the NFL draft at any time on Twitter, and you'll be entered to win some prizes. They're actually the ones giving us the Darrelle Revis signed mini helmet, the Bobby Portis game-worn sneakers that are going to be signed as well. And they're also offering up a year subscription for free to StatRoute.com, which is a tremendous stat thing you can use for DFS. You can use it for season long. They do more than just football. They have basketball. They're working on their MLB stuff right now. So it's a great place to find some stats you can't find anywhere else. So definitely check them out and use the promo code G42FF. All right, so we're on pick number 16 now, and it's the Carolina Panthers, and the Panthers are going to Mr. Gerson. Gerson, who are the Panthers taking?
Well, I got sniped again. Again. Thanks a lot, guys. You guys are doing great. Cheers to all you guys.
This happens when you show up late. When you come late to the podcast, you get sniped.
Hey. I showed up.
Glad to see the Panthers front office is drinking during the draft.
Yeah, I mean, last year I was drinking and I picked Baker Mayfield number one. I'm just saying.
We ain't never living that one down. It's going to be like 20 years from now. We're going to be like, this is our 21st annual. He's like, remember when I took Baker Mayfield way back in 2017?
Yeah, well, 20 years later, well, guess what, Matt? He's a Hall of Famer now. We're in induction. Anyways, I think the Panthers can go a lot of different ways. I kind of want to ask Ryan this question. Do you feel like the top 3 cornerbacks in this year's draft can really go any kind of way? Like, does it really? I think it's just more on the scheme and the fit more than the overall player. What do you think, Ryan?
I don't really trust any of the corners. I think Grady's super boomer bust. Like, he can either be great because he's fantastic man coverage, but he has super inconsistencies. I like Murphy as a solid overall player.
Okay, yeah.
And then Baker, eh.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I feel the same way. So I had Murphy and Greedy like both ways. Like, I was like, all right. So, but I like Murphy better. I think the Carolina Panthers need a cornerback. They're really bad against defending the pass. Overall, I thought like maybe if Greg Olsen retired, or I don't know what the hell he ever does. I mean, he does break a leg like every play, you know, an ankle or something. So I was going to have them pick a tight end, but you took Joe, so I was like, eh. But overall, I think they have a cornerback need, so I'm going to go with Murphy here on this pick.
All right, good stuff there. Going with cornerback, we kind of got a little bit of from Ryan, his insight there. So let's go on to the next pick here. We got the New York Giants here at number 17, and we're going to Adam for this one. Adam, who are the Giants taking here? You already drafted one for the Giants. Who are they taking in this pick?
Well, they're going to get someone to pair up with Dwayne Haskins, and I'm going to go A.J. Brown, the wide receiver from Ole Miss. They traded away Odell, and they have no proven guy there before they sign Golden Tate, and Golden Tate's 30. I don't think Sterling Shepard can be the main guy for New York or any team really. And I don't know if Evan Ingram could be a Travis Kelce type tight end where he can basically be the main guy and in offense and you can win with him. So I'm gonna get some help. AJ Brown, I think he's the best receiver in this class. I know DK Metcalf looks like he's just a machine, but AJ Brown, he has good hands, good size, speed to go with it. I mean, a good route runner. And I think Eli and Dwayne Haskins, they'll get some good use out of him.
Yeah, I love that pick there. Actually, I have A.J. Brown, as far as fantasy rankings, ranked a little bit higher than DK Metcalf. I think he's just the more complete receiver. And I think that the Giants do need a receiver to sort of replace Odell. I know they got some guys there like, you know, Golden Tate, obviously. Sterling Shepard's been an okay receiver. I want to get your opinion on this one, Mr. Tim Strobel. What do you think of this pick here for the Giants, A.J. Brown?
No, I think that's a great pick. I think he outlined it. I mean, they really need somebody to play outside. I mean, Shepard, Golden Tate, and I'm blanking on his name right now, but they all play inside. They really need somebody that's going to be a player for them, you know, down the field, you know, on the outside. So I think that works as a great pick. I don't know if he's quite, you can really place Odell, but he's certainly going to try.
Right. Yeah, exactly. All right, good stuff there. Next pick up, we have the Minnesota Vikings, who is Matt's actually favorite team. So we're going to go to Matt Sandell. Matt, who the Vikings taking here?
Well, it's going to be no surprise here. Their defense is stacked. Their offense is stacked. There is no way in hell, I would bet my life on it, that the Vikings are taking some sort of offensive lineman here. And since a couple of my guys have already been taken, I'm going with Chris Lindstrom, a guard out of Boston College. Their guard play last year was atrocious. I mean, there was just, they were totally panged up throughout the entire season. That's why they missed the playoffs. And yeah, I think Lindstrom would be a great fit. Just throw him in day one, honestly, because it's better than what we have now.
Yeah, good stuff there. And that's our third, at least our third offensive lineman. I think that's probably more offensive lineman that we've drafted if we added up all the years we've done this before. We've got them all in the first round here. So I guess we're
breaking. We only hit on one. We only hit on Nelson. That's it.
Yeah, you're right.
He was a lock. We all knew that.
Yep, that's true. All right, good stuff. Let's see. The next one up, we've got the Tennessee Titans, and we're going back to Mr. Tim Strobel for the Titans. Who are they taking here at number 19?
The Tennessee Titans select Clelin Ferrell, edge rusher out of Clemson. Aside from Harold Landry, the Titans have nothing but aging edge rushers on their roster. And, you know, they have some options on the open market, but I think they're really looking to shore up this position for the long haul. So I think that they go and they take one of the top edge rushers, Owen Farrell, who falls down to them at 19.
Yeah, he definitely fell. I mean, I kind of picked up the top 100. Now, granted, it's a little bit outdated, and the top 100 can definitely change quite a bit. But on my top 100, he was actually the sixth overall prospect. He lasted all the way down to pick number 19. So definitely a steal there for the Titans. Matt, what are your thoughts on that pick with Farrell going at number 19?
Yeah, I could see it. I think that personally he probably gets taken a little higher than that. But, you know, trades happen. We'll see. But, Tennessee definitely needs that help on that side of the ball for sure.
All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, let's go to the next pick here. We've got the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Mr. Adam Cooper has the Steelers. Who's the Steelers taking here at 20, Adam?
Man, I tell you, I had, and even now, I'm still not 100%. I mean, they need, it's crazy. A year ago, it looked like they could potentially win the Super Bowl. They lost Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell held out, and now he's gone. Honestly, I'm going to go with a sleeper pick and go Josh Jacobs, the running back from Alabama. I know they might need more, you know, they have more pressing needs, but it seems like James Conner, he kind of wore down towards the end of the season. I don't know if he'll ever be able to be a guy that's like a Le'Veon Bell where you can just basically just have him be your bell cow back. I think adding Jacobs in there would bring a little bit of a different thing that they're not used to. They're not used to having that running back by committee. And as much as we hate it in fantasy, I think real life-wise, that would be huge for him. I mean, Ben's getting older, even though he did have, like, 5,000 pass yards. They're going to have to make up, you know, the loss of Antonio Brown, and I think that has to come from different areas in offense, not just at wide receiver. So adding Josh Jacobs in there, maybe this year they start running the ball a little bit more than they normally do.
That's an interesting call there because, yeah, that wasn't a need that I had for the Steelers there at running back. So I thought they would go on the defensive side of the ball there. But, yeah, you know, I can see it. You know, I don't think the Steelers are historically a committee-type team. They've always kind of stuck to one running back. But as we see in the NFL right now, you know, us as fantasy players hate it, but it seems to be the going trend that if you don't have two running backs there, you're going to struggle a little bit. And I think that the Steelers, if they can kind of break that mold and go with Josh Jacobs there, that gives them quite a dynamic backfield with obviously, I can't think of the other guy's name besides Ryan, who's the running back there? He used to be a tight end. Jalen Samuel. Thank you. I don't know why I was drawing a blank there. So you put those three back there, and you got a pretty good backfield there. So interesting pick there, but I like it. All right, next one we got up is going to be the Seattle Seahawks at pick number 21, and we're going to Gerson. Talk about these guys real quick.
Can I get my...
you want your little chime. There you go. My bad.
Yeah. Thank you. So it's kind of crazy because thanks a lot, Adam. You sniped my pick again. I was going with the Seattle Seahawks. They needed a running back. We know they love to run the ball. Chris Carson was pretty good. Rashad Penny, I didn't think... I mean, last year when I mentioned that Rashad Penny, I still didn't even feel all that confident about it. And as soon as everybody else started bashing Rashad Penny, I was like, damn it, I should have not done it. But JT Mystic and CJ ProSize, they don't really, you know, they're not going to be there. So I think they were going to go running back. But since it got sniped, I think I'm going to have to go with – 1 second. I had it right here. Kittle, or what's his name? Kittle, defensive tackle.
Hillary?
Tillery. He had the highest pass rush upgrade or grade at 92.6. I think the Seattle Seahawks, we know over the past years, they've always built from the inside defensive line to the front seven to Legion of Boom, but they don't really have that no more. With him being available, which I was kind of shocked, I thought people were going to be hired on him than usual than me, but I guess not. But if he's falling that far, I think they'll take him. And that'll start with they gotta work on their defense. Their offensive line was horrible last year as well, but there's not an offensive lineman that I like here, so I'll take him over all the other guys available.
All right, good stuff there. I'm having a hard time finding him on my sheet. Did anybody see his number on the sheet? Which one he's at?
Yeah, hold on.
50.
Number 50. Okay, that's why I wasn't going quite down that far. All Jerry right, so Hillary.
Notre Dame
reached. He reached.
He did definitely reach. He threw me off there. Oh, so yeah. I'm looking at the top there. All right, good stuff.
Hey, let's be honest. Remember who the Seahawks drafted last year?
Oh yeah,
they reached.
They definitely reached. You're right. They like to reach. All right. Let's see. We're going to the Baltimore Ravens next. And, of course, that's Ryan's favorite team. Lives in Pittsburgh and loves the Ravens. It must be a great time on game day for him. Ryan, who are the Ravens taking here?
Well, I literally hate every single one of you for letting player head slip. My number one receiver is on the board, and N'Keal Harry. But I'm not going to wide receiver. I'm going with Brian Burns, edge rusher, Florida State. They lost Suggs. They lost Darius Smith. So all they have left is Judon. That team's based off their defense. Burns is fast. He can bend like crazy. He has solid moves. He passed away in test, hitting 250. He is a ridiculous athlete. On mock draft, well, he's 95th percentile wingspan, 97th percentile 40-yard dash, 97th percentile broad jump. He's over 80 in most of the other explosion drills. So he's a freak athlete coming off the edge. And that's the thing, let those DBs make plays on defense. Wide receivers deep enough, they can find something later on the draft. And really, edge isn't. So you're not going to find that later. So I'm going with the best player on my board, Brian Burns.
All right, nice. Good stuff there. I like that pick a lot. I think the Ravens do need some defense. You know, they lost a bunch of players, so that's a good call there. Before we get to the next pick, I'm just going to recap where we're at so far. So, of course, number one overall to Arizona goes Kyler Murray. Number two is Nick Bosa to the 49ers. Josh Allen goes to the Jets at three. Quentin Williams to the Raiders. Devin White to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Dwayne Haskins to the Giants. Montez Sweat to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ed Oliver to the Detroit Lions. Hockenson, the tight end, goes to Buffalo. Drew Lock goes to the Denver Broncos. Jonah Williams goes to the Cincinnati Bengals. Juwan Taylor to the Green Bay Packers. Rashawn Gary to Miami. Christian Wilkins goes to number it goes 14 to number Atlanta Falcons. DK Metcalf goes to Washington. Byron Murphy goes to the Carolina Panthers. AJ Brown, receiver, goes to the Giants. Chris Lindstrom goes to the Vikings. Cillian Farrell goes to the Titans. Josh Jacobs to the Steelers. And how you say his name? Tillery? Jerry Tillery? Is that how you say it?
Yep.
All right, he goes to the Seattle Seahawks. And, of course, we just had Brian Burns go to the Baltimore Ravens. Next up, we've got the Houston Texans at number 23. And that pick goes to Tim, Mr. Tim Strobel. Who you got here at 23?
The Houston Texans select Andre Dillard, offensive tackle out of Washington State. The Texans planned on pursuing Trent Brown in free agency, but they missed out on him. I think that they're looking for some protection for Deshaun Watson in this draft. A couple of the other really good tackles obviously got taken much earlier, but this is a guy that they've met with. I think that he's a real target of theirs at this spot. And so if he's still there, I think that they go ahead and draft Andre Dillard.
Yep, good call there. I think Deshaun Watson was one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the league last year. You know, but you basically, you know, all of us play DFS, or most of us, I think, do. And, you know, whenever you had a defense that was good at getting sacks going up against the Texans, you definitely want to have that defense on your team because they're going to rack some sacks up for sure. So, yeah, I love that pick there. Next up is the Oakland Raiders at 24, and Gerson has his pick. And, of course, this is the pick they got from Chicago for the jersey that Gerson is wearing right now. So let's see what they get for that you know, blockbuster trade that they did in the offseason here, Gerson. Who do the Oakland Raiders take here at 24? There you go.
Thank you. The Oakland Raiders will select... Well, I'm glad I didn't get sniped, so thank you, Tim. I honestly thought you were going to snipe me. But seeing the Raiders need help on defense, I think they're going to go defensive back on this, and they're going to go basically best player available. So I was early on, I said Greedy or Murphy. So basically, for me, I think John Gruden more, it's like, we look at the history of cornerbacks he drafted, he always drafts big size guys like Aqib Talib. So I think he'll honestly go with Greedy Williams. He only allowed 40% on the pass coverage passes last year, and he has the size to fit that scheme. So I think they'll go with Greedy Williams and start building defense from there. I mean, they draft according to my pick, they'll have Quinn Williams, Greedy. Greedy Williams too. So overall, I mean, they got to keep going defense here, and I think Mike Mayock.
Good stuff there. Yeah, I like that pick.
Yeah, you're right, Garrison. I was definitely considering Greedy at that spot.
Yeah, because I saw the Texans. I knew their biggest need was secondary, and obviously, well, when their quarterback's running around with his head cut off, you know, I was like, all right, he's going to go either one, but damn, I'm glad you didn't. Thank you, guys.
Hey, let me ask y'all, since y'all know college better than me, is his real name Greedy, or is that just a nickname?
I think it's a nickname.
It's a nickname. Yeah, okay, I was like, if that's his real name, that's like the perfect nickname for a cornerback, but I guess that's pretty awesome. All right, next up, we have the Philadelphia Eagles, and Mr. Matt Sandell has the Eagles, and for some reason, I cannot find his screen.
Andre is his real name.
Andre's his real name. Okay, good stuff.
With a Z.
I can't find it. Matt, are you still on here? Because I can't find your window on my screen here.
I'm trying to. I'm the Philadelphia Eagles war room is on fire right now. That was my pick. I'm trying to find something here. We may have to forfeit like the Vikings did like a decade ago. But you know, I guess for the Eagles, that was literally my pick was going to be Greedy Williams, and if he's taken right before them, I guess I'm going Dexter Lawrence out of Clemson, defensive tackle. Something on the defensive side of the ball for the Eagles. They really needed a lot of help there. I mean, that defense towards the end of the year was really bad. They were on, like, practice squad cornerback. So, yeah, I think if either Murphy or Greedy is on the board, they'll definitely take him or maybe try and trade up for him. But right now I got him taking Lawrence, big defensive tackle out of Clemson.
All right, good stuff. And we got the video feedback for you, so I was able to go to you. I don't know why you keep fading in and out, and something's going on with my
I was Googling player names, and it was a shit show over here.
Yeah, you get sniped. You got to be ready for that. You got to have your big board handy.
I know.
All right. And Gerson, we're going right back to you for another Oakland Raiders pick. They got three picks in the first round. This one's coming from Dallas, obviously with
Wait.
Oh, wait. You're right. I'm getting ahead of myself. Getting ahead of myself here. Pick 26 is the Indianapolis Colts. Going to Ryan. Ryan, who do the Colts take here?
The Indianapolis Colts take wide receiver Keen Butler. I know they picked up Funchess in the offseason, but he's still not a top-tier receiver. And Harry's the perfect complement to T.Y. Hilton's speed. Harry's big, strong. He can block. He can win jump balls. He can run after the catch. He does every single thing you want. He has all the makings of the wide receiver one. And you give Andrew Luck weapons like that, he's just going to have a field day. Their defense played good enough last year. And you know what? Let that offense win games. That's the way the NFL is going. And I think he could have a huge impact there for locking that offense.
So you said your number one receiver was Harry, who's still on the board. Why are you going?
That's what I said.
You said Akeem Butler at first, did you not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did I really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you said Akeem Butler.
Did I? Oh, God. Okay. I swear to God, I meant N'Keal Harry.
All right, so N'Keal Harry, that makes a little more sense. I was like, okay, N'Keal's still here, but all right. So we're going with Harry to the Colts, yeah, right?
N'Keal Harry, my brain. I think I've mocked Akeem Butler to him them so many times because he has been on my board. My brain just stopped.
All right, no problem.
But yeah.
All right.
Colts take N'Keal Harry.
N'Keal Harry, all right. That is, yeah. If he goes there, I'll be ecstatic. He's obviously the number one receiver in fantasy right now in dynasty drafts. He's number one overall. If he goes to the Colts, it's a surefire number one pick right there. I think Harry is the number one, even if he lands somewhere other than the Colts. But the Colts will be a perfect landing spot. All right, so I jumped ahead of myself before, but now we are definitely going back to Oakland. It came from the Dallas pick, obviously the Dallas trade midseason. Gerson, we're going back to you with the Raiders. Who do they take here at number 27?
I think at number 27, I'm going to take a little bit of a – wait. Where's my
I don't know why. I forget it every time when I go to you. I don't know what the deal is.
The Raiders aren't that special, I guess. You know. True. I think at this pick, they're going to take a gamble on it if they don't trade out. I think 27, 24, they're going to try to trade out. But if they don't, then I believe this pick will be special. And they'll draft Marquise Brown out of Oklahoma. And to pair him with his own cousin, Antonio Brown. So it'll be something like, you know, I think Gruden's one of those guys, like he sees special players that are fast, quick, you know. Marquise Brown dominated in Oklahoma until he had nagging injuries. I think overall he had potential. Like Santonio Holmes, but a lot faster actually. He's hella fast. That's why they call him Hollywood Brown. But overall, I think Marquise Brown is the pick that the Raiders will pick. If not, they'll go tight end, but it looks like tight end is falling. So, I mean, there's only one guy that I think has a first-round grade for me. I don't know how Ryan feels about that, but TJ was that guy. So
I have two with a first-round grade, but yeah.
Yeah, good stuff there. Good stuff. I think if that does happen, I think the NFL Network needs to get cameras into that locker room for Antonio Brown, Marquise Brown, and then, you know, hope and pray. I know they're going to be playing in Oakland this year, but let's hope that they do move to Las Vegas next year. And that if Brown and Brown are both there in Las Vegas, that would be a show I would definitely watch. All right, let's see. Pick number 28 is going to be the LA Chargers, and Adam Cooper has the LA Chargers. Who are they taking here?
Well, I initially didn't plan on making this pick because I didn't think this player was going to be here, but I'm doing it for the fifth-year option. I'm going to have the Chargers take Daniel Jones, a quarterback from Duke. They signed Tyrod to, I believe it was a two-year deal, but we know Tyrod is a very good backup, not a franchise guy. Rivers is getting older. Get Daniel Jones. I mean, Rivers plays a year or two. You'll have like 3 or 4 years of Daniel Jones due to the fifth-year option. And I think that'll play a huge role in taking the quarterback with the 28th pick.
I love that pick there. I think that's a perfect pick. And I actually think I have a higher grade for Daniel Jones than I do Drew Lock. I think that sitting behind Rivers is probably the perfect thing for him. He can learn from one of the best quarterbacks to, you know, to play the game. And I think that Jones is he's a bit of a project, but I think he can definitely be a good quarterback in this league. And I think the Chargers is the perfect, perfect spot. Ryan, what do you think about that spot there for Daniel Jones?
I don't like Daniel Jones at all. I like the idea of getting the future replacement for Rivers, but man, I am not a believer. This is a team that has a chance to go for a Super Bowl. I might lean talent, like best overall player, but I don't hate it because they need to figure out a replacement. He ain't getting any younger, and that line isn't really keeping him upright all the time.
Yeah, and he's a statue back there, so they pretty much know where he's going to be at all times. All right, the next up, we've got the Kansas City Chiefs, and we're going back to Matt Sandell with the Chiefs. Obviously, the Chiefs were a hot commodity last year. They came out of nowhere and were just a juggernaut on offense. Their defense was terrible. I'm assuming Matt's going to go defense, but let's see what Matt's got for the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, for KC, you know, I think they need cornerback help, but I think they're going to look for it in probably the second and third rounds if Greedy and Murphy are gone. So I just went to Caleb McGarry, tackle out of Washington. I think their offensive line really struggled at times last year, and I think they really want to lock that down. And, you know, they have so many holes to fill with Dee Ford gone now. Chris Jones played really well for them last year, and so part of me, I already made the pick, so F it, but a part of me thinks that they're definitely going to go defense in the first round, but I just went Caleb McGarry, tackle out of Washington.
All right, yeah, good stuff there. I like that pick a little bit different, but I think I do like it as well. All right, so next up, we're going back to Green Bay, who have two picks in the first round, and Mr. Tim Strobel. Who's Green Bay taking at number 30, Tim? Let me hit my button there.
The Green Bay Packers select Noah Fant, tight end out of Iowa. You mentioned earlier that you think there's only one, first round grade, and I definitely think that that's possible. But I think the Packers really like Noah Fant. I think he's a pass catching tight end. I know a lot of people say Rodgers doesn't send it to his tight ends, but I think that this is a guy who is going to be a playmaker for them in the middle of the field. I think that they just need somebody that's going to be an option for him. So at 6'4", 249, he also has the ability to be a blocker. So I think that that's going to be where they go.
Is Jimmy still there?
What was that?
Is Jimmy Graham still there?
I think he is technically still there, but he might be a free agent, actually. Yeah. Is he a free agent, Tim?
Yeah, I believe he's a free agent after next year.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Okay. I think he's technically a free pick.
Yeah. I like that pick.
Yep, that's an awesome pick there. I think Fant will fit in that offense perfectly. All right, so we got two more picks to go. The next one up, of course, is the runner-up Super Bowl champions, L.A. Rams, who basically laid an egg in the Super Bowl and put up, 3 points? L.A. Rams take who, Ryan?
Los Angeles Rams take Devin Bush, Linebacker out of Michigan. I mean, I was dreading this pick all day because I figured the talent would be a little depleted by then, and the Rams don't have a ton of needs, especially in linebackers. One of the few ones, linebackers just not a very deep class, but Devin Bush is fantastic. He can run, he can hit. He's fantastic in coverage. He's a ridiculous athlete. He can step in and make plays all over that defense. He can cover running backs out of the backfield, which they struggle with a little bit in the Super Bowl, and cover tight ends, which another one of their big struggles they had. It's huge up the middle for them. They kind of lost a little bit on defense. Secondary is good. Get that middle sounded up. And I think Bush is a slam dunk there, and he's an instant impact player for him.
Yeah, good stuff there. I like that pick a lot there. Tim, what do you think of that pick there for the Rams there at 31? What are your thoughts on that pick?
No, I like that pick a lot. I definitely had linebacker as a need for them. He's going to be somebody that, like you said, mentioned earlier, 5 years because of that first-round contract. So I think that he may not be somebody that starts immediately for them, but he's going to be more of a long-term option for them at the linebacker position.
Good stuff. All right. And we're at pick number 32, Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. And I gave this team to Gerson specifically because he's got a Tom Brady crush. So I wanted to give him this team to sort of talk about them a little bit. New England Patriots take who at number 32, Gerson?
With the 32nd pick of the draft in the first round, the New England Patriots will take the local white boy from the grocery store down the block, Andy Isabella,
nice
wide receiver. We know Bill Belichick has a crush on little small wide receivers like Matt. Actually, I don't know how tall Matt is, so I'll be honest. I've only seen your face. Sorry.
I fit the bill.
Yeah. So Isabella, a lot of people question how fast he was. In his first run, he did not run well. I think he ran like a 4.6. And then when they did an official time, they lowered it down through the 4.4 area or 4.3 area. Which one was it, Ryan?
Yeah, 4.3, yeah. 4.31, I think, yep.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, he was 4.31, I want to say.
Yeah, that was a big fucking difference. So for me, I was like, wow, that is a huge difference. And they didn't say about it until, like, I think, like 30 minutes later in the draft combine, they talked about it. And I was like, wow, this is a perfect fit, you know? I mean, we have what? Julian Edelman, he's getting old. I mean, the whole Patriots offense is getting old, but Chris Hogan, I don't really think he's really all that good no more. But Andy Isabella is like that perfect. I mean, you know, Bill Belichick, he's just smiling with that evil grin. Like, if he falls, he's probably going to take Andy Isabella. I really wanted to take Noah Font because we all know our beloved Rob Gronkowski retired this year. Shout out. I'm glad I got to see Rob Gronkowski spike the ball at least one time in my life when I went to watch this game. But yeah, Andy Isabella was my pick here for the Patriots to wrap up the first round.
All right. Yeah, I love that pick there. I think in fantasy we would love that pick as well. I do think that they would go Noah Fant if he was available. They might even think about taking Irv Smith Jr. I think he would be another tight end they might think about taking to replace Gronk. But Isabella fits that bill. I think I even wrote in one of my notes for my draft notes is that Isabella is a very Patriots-style receiver, which we all know what that basically means. Those little short underneath guys that just catch, you know, a million passes but catch, you know, 2 yards from the line of scrimmage and then do something with it. And I think he fits that bill perfectly.
And work at the grocery store.
All right, good stuff there. All right, guys. So that wraps up the first round. I wanted to thank everybody again for coming on. I think it was a great, great show. I appreciate everybody coming on the show. I do want to shout out one more time for our sponsor, thestatroute.com. Check them out, G42FF. You can save half off your yearly subscription. And, of course, during the real NFL draft, if you're on Twitter for any reason at all, use the hashtag DraftPack for a chance to win some great, great prizes. For everybody here, for Ryan, for Matt, for Tim, for Adam, for Gerson, I'm Jeff. We're signing out. Everyone have a good night.
You too. See ya.
Hey.
Go Pack, go.
Raider Nation.
Skull Vikes.